This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
Gordon Liddy is My Muse by Tommy Tip Payne. A novel by John Calvin Batchelor. Read by John Batchelor. Part 1. Mother Treason. Tip grows up, my red and black paladin. 1. Russia in winter is the time of gambling and treason. Moscow, at the pinnacle of 11 centuries of Russian winters, is the best place to find both. Russians love gambling. They hate treason. And because human nature is as upside down as not, they are as good at what they favor as they are at what they despise. This is a yarn of a boy and a girl who were very good gamblers, who betrayed their country, Holy Mother Russia, who let me watch it happen for 25 years, and whom I can write about now because they're gone, and I miss them. Also, Tip wants to make some guesses, because I believe I lost my two friends to sci-fi spy guys like me, though they are not make-believers, agents of our agency, CIA, and their state security. When I get to those rude bunches, they shall be rudely identified as the Keystone Ops and 3 million Stooges. Who is Tip? Tip is I, now middle-aged, a traveling salesman of make-believe. Nothing high-hat, I promise. I've sold a deal of gleeful spy books, and I've put my name on a few movies. If you've bought them, thanks. I make it all up on small, elegant machines, and I travel on big, amazing ones. Mostly, I travel. My first trip out of America was to Moscow when I was 11, and I've been going back and back ever since like a fellow who's gotten turned around so that the return fare is ticketed the wrong way. How I got to Moscow the first time was that, in 1960, I was a Boy Scout in a troop on Philadelphia's main line that was sponsored by a very, very old Quaker meeting house. I'm not a practicing Quaker today. My Puritan heart is standoffish. But back then, I was a tenderfoot, curious about the meeting house, and I could occasionally attend services by myself rather than carpool with my family to the Presbyterians. I didn't understand about the inner light of the Quakers, which moves men and women to sit quietly for an hour, make some rise to relate a heartfelt anecdote, holds the few Quakers together like cones around an evergreen. I only understood that quiet is hard to do at 11, and therefore strangely challenging. I sat there on a plain wooden bench in a small white room and listened to the cars outside, the steam radiators inside, the slow breathing of the ancients, who did most of the talking. Also, I noticed that the other kids were wimps and girls. I was a manly Boy Scout and therefore special, as I could never have been at my own Sunday school. One January Sunday after service, the ancient Mr. Abernathy pulled me aside. "How are thee, young man?" he began. "I have seen thee here before." Frightened, I explained that I was just a Boy Scout from the neighborhood. We were outside the beautifully built meeting house, which sits on a stone wall enclosed rise that was topped by those melancholy elms that were still alive back then. Mr. Abernathy assured me I was welcome at the meeting house, then asked me my name, school, and age. I was over large then, too. I went away that day feeling that I had done something wrong. That next week, Mr. Abernathy called my mom and proposed a strange adventure. Philadelphia's Quakers were sending a peace mission to Moscow in hopes of arranging a summit between President Eisenhower and Soviet boss Nikita Khrushchev. Mr. Abernathy's meeting had been awakened in prayer and informed by reflection that they should send as their representative not one of their ancient selves, but a youth. It was Mr. Abernathy's further illumination, after he had chatted with my scoutmaster, that I was the correct youth, trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, and so forth, down to typical. Mr. Abernathy was so certain of himself that my mother refused for me. Events tumbled. I was suddenly an imprisoned celebrity fighting with Warden Mom for a furlough. Mom said, "Moscow is not like New York, tipster, where you hated it. Moscow's worse. You don't speak Russian, and you don't know. They spy on everyone there. The Quakers are crazy to go." And then she accidentally provided my deep motive. "Besides, you've got school." "Too true, Mom. I love you. If you recall sixth grade, you know how in not much more time I was on a plane to Moscow via Reykjavik, London, Helsinki. This isn't travelogue. It's time encapsulation. But I'll pause to note that I was bewitched by what I saw en route. A TWA super constellation, volcanoes, London rain, Helsinki darkness, and by the evening we reached Moscow, I was a tenderfoot of adventure. The Quaker couple who foster parented me, the Monroes, were newlyweds, without kids yet. They offered a slack leash. I stayed close, though, through customs, and the bus ride to our hotel, the very famous, very elite National, off Red Square. By dawn, the first day, I was ready for action. I had memorized Life magazine since 1956. I knew this was where the Reds lived. I knew what the Cold War was. I could feel it out there. With a child's lack of limits, Tip, the American cowboy, was ready to scout out Red Indians. Let's go. Instead, the peace mission began. Conferences, museums, and churches, more conferences. Action absent. They talked in two languages most futilely, since Russia's theme in those days was best defined as nothing goes. I traveled half a world to a Russian meeting house. I listened to the few cars outside, the steam radiators inside, the grown-ups breathe. I also watched the amazing snowfall that began late morning every day and never really stopped. That cold was darkness visible. What did I care about the Metro, Ivan's Bell Tower, the Tretyakov collection, the Bolshoi Opera, something called Soviet Friendship? Late February in Moscow was make-believe itself. Walking sounds like rock and roll Rice Krispies. Breathing is sucking icicles. Everyone's bundled up, quick and most cheery. I didn't know what vodka did then. I didn't want man-made wonders like disarmament. I wanted what I now know to call pastoral Russia, the winter, the blizzards, the endless forest steppe. Nonetheless, at each day's end, I was still an imprisoned celebrity, fighting now with Quaker wardens. I bartered. I had seen kids my age sledding in the Lenin Hills when we bussed out to Moscow University. So I brought up how well I could take care of myself if I was dropped off with a sled. Pick me up on your way back. The Quakers are kindly people with a ferocious yearning for achievement that often looks like competitive piety. They do not say no. They do not say yes. They say, "Way will open." I wish I'd been old enough then to understand their parleys, especially that big one in the Kremlin's old Senate building. It must have worked some miracle, for the following spring, Ike did rendezvous with Khrushchev in De Gaulle's Paris, the U-2 melodrama notwithstanding. However, what lesson Tip got out of the mission was that peace is dull. On the fourth day, I was provided excitement, a Russian foster family, and a playmate.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Does Friendly have a taste If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show Tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.